I will be reading lines 735 to 862. Mighty and canny, Higelac's kingsman was keenly watching from the first move the monster would make. Nor did the creature keep waiting, but struck suddenly and started in. He grabbed and mauled a man on his bench, bit into bone lappings, bottled down his blood, and gorged him in lumps, leaving the body utterly lifeless, eaten up hand and foot. Venturing closer, his talon was raised to attack Beowulf, where he lay on the bed. He was bearing an open claw when the alert hero's comeback and alarm lock forestalled him utterly. The captain of evil discovered himself in a hand grip harder than anything he had ever encountered any man on the face of the earth. Every bone in his body quailed and recoiled, but he could not escape. He was desperate to flee to his den and hide with the devil's litter, for on all of his days he had never been clamped or cornered like this. Then Higelac's trusty retainer recalled his bedtime speech, sprang to his feet, and got in a firm hold. Fingers were bursting, the monster backtracking, the man overpowering. The dread of the land was desperate to escape, to take a roundabout road and flee to his lair in the fens. The lashing power in his fingers weakened. It was the worst trip the terror monger had taken to Heorot. And now the timbers trembled and sang a hall session that harrowed every Dane. Inside the stockade, stumbling and furry, the two contenders crashed through the building. The hall clattered and hammered, but somehow survived the onslaught and kept standing. It was handsomely structured, a sturdy frame braced with the best of the blacksmith's work inside and out. The story goes that as the pair struggled, the med benches were smashed and sprung off the floor, gold fittings and all. Before then, no Shielding elder would believe there was any power person upon earth capable of wrecking their horn-ridged hall unless the burning embrace of a fire engulfed in it flame. Then the extraordinary wail rose, and bewildering fear came over the Danes. Everyone felt it who had heard the cry as echoed off the walls. A god-cursed scream and strain of catastrophic, the howl of the loser, the lament of the hell sheriff keening his wound. He was overwhelmed, manically tight by the man who of all men was foremost and strongest in the days of this life. But the Earl troop leader was not inclined to allow his caller to depart alive. He did not consider that life of much account to anyone anywhere. Time and again, Beowulf's warriors worked to defend their lord's life, laying out them the best as they could with their Anstruntal's blades. Stalwart in action, they kept striking on every side, seeking to cut straight to the soul. When they joined the struggle, there was something that they could not have known at the time, that no blade on earth, no blacksmith's art could ever damage their demon opponent. He had conquered the harm from the cutting edge of every weapon, but his going away out of this world and the days of his life would be agony to him, and his alien spirit would travel far into the fen's keeping. Then he who had harrowed the hearts of men with pain and affliction in former times, had given offense to also God, found that his bodily powers failed him. Higelac, kingsman, kept him helplessly locked in a hand grip. As long as either lived, he was hateful to each other. The monster's whole body was in pain. A tremendous wound appeared on his shoulders. Sinews split and the bone lappings burst. Beowulf was granted the glory of winning. Grendel was driven under the fens blank, fatally hurt to his distal hair. His days were numbered. The end of his life was coming over him. He knew for certain, and one bloody clash had fulfilled the dearest wishes of the Danes. The man who had lately landed among them, proud and sure, he purged the hall, kept it from harm. He was happy with his night work and the courage he had shown. The great captain had boldly fulfilled the boast to the Danes. He had healed and relieved a huge distress, unremitting humiliations. The hard fate they'd been forced to undergo, no small affliction, clear proof of this could be seen in the hand of the hero displayed high up in the near roof, the whole of Grendel's shoulder and arm, his awesome grasp. Then morning came and many warriors gathered. As I've heard, around the gift hall, clan chiefs flocking from far and near, down wide ranging roads, wondering greatly at the monster's footprints. His fatal departure was regretting by no one who witnessed his trail. The ignominious marks of his flight, where he sculled away, exhausted in spirit and beaten in battle, bloodily the path, hauling his doom to the demon's mirror. The bloodshot water wallowed and surged. There were lonesome uproars and overturnings of waves and gore and wound slurry. With his death upon him, he had dived deep into his marsh den, drowned out his life and unheathen soul. Hell claimed him there. Then away they rode. The retainers with many a young man followed after, a troop on horseback, a high spirits on their bay steeds. Beowulf's doing were praised over and over again. Nowhere, they said, north or south, between the two seas or under the tall sky, on the broad earth, was there any better to raise a shield or to rule a kingdom. Yet there was no lane of blame on their lord, the noble Hergarth. He was a good king. So, basically, in this section of the book, Beowulf, is preparing to fight Grendel, and, kind of right before their fight, he's watching Grendel, seeing, what his territory looks like and how he moves, how he acts, so he can kind of get an edge on fighting him. And then Beowulf starts fighting Grendel, and it's a long fight, but it's a good fight, and Beowulf ends up cutting off for Grendel's arm. And he ends up keeping it in the end, but Beowulf's men come and help them and they start hitting Grendel as hard as they can, but then they realize that no weapon or blacksmith's art was good enough to hurt Grendel, as Grendel is strong enough to just cut off the weapons and it didn't really affect him in any way. At the end, Beowulf defeats Grendel, and everyone from all the towns come and praise Beowulf, and they look at the trails that Grendel left behind. And while they were fighting, they hear this roar, the scream that would be Grendel, and that's kind of a sign that Beowulf defeated him. And then Beowulf is praised and he boasts a lot, and yeah.
Hello, my name is Phoebe. Welcome to Litcast. Today I will be reading lines 863 to 1007. At times the war band broke into a gallop, letting their chestnut horses race. Wherever they found the going good on those well-known tracks. Meanwhile, a thane of the king's household, a carrier of tales, a traditional singer deeply schooled in the lore of the past, linked a new theme to a strict meter. The man started to recite with skill, rehearsing Beowulf's triumphs and feats and well-fashioned lines, entwining his words. He told what he'd heard, repeating in songs with Sigmund's exploits. All of those many feats and marvels, the struggles and wanderings of Wael's son, things unknown to anyone except to Fitela, feuds and foul doings confided by uncle to nephew when he felt the urge to speak of them. Always they had been partners in the fight, friend in need. They killed giants, their conquering swords had brought them down. After his death, Sigmund's glory grew and grew because of his courage when he killed the dragon, the guardian of the horde. Under Greystone, he had dared to enter all by himself to face the worst without Fitela. But it came to pass that his sword plunged right through those radiant scales and drove into the wall, that the dragon died of it. His daring had given him total possession of the treasure hoard, his to dispose of however he liked. He loaded a boat Whale's son waited her hold with dazzling spoils. The hot dragon melted. Sigmund's name was known everywhere. He was utterly valiant and venturesome. A fence round his fighters and flourished, therefore, after King Hermann's prowess declined and his campaign slowed down. The king was betrayed, ambushed in Jutland, overpowered, and done away with. The waves of his grief had beaten him down, made him a burden and source of anxiety to his own nobles. That expedition was often condemned in those earlier times by experienced men who relied on his lordship for redress, who presumed that the part of a prince was to thrive on his father's throne and defend the nation, the shielding land where they lived and belonged, its holdings and strongholds such as Beowulf, and the affection of his friends and of everyone alive. But evil entered into Heremod. Meanwhile, the Danes kept racing their mounts down sandy lanes. The light of day broke and kept brightening. Bands of retainers galloped in excitement to the gabled hall to see the marvel, and the king himself, guardian of the ring hoard goodness in person, walked in majesty from the women's quarters with a numerous train attended by his queen and her crowd of maidens across to the meat hall. When Hrothgar arrived at the hall, he spoke, standing on the steps under the steep eaves, gazing at the roof work and Grendel's talon. "First and foremost, let the Almighty Father be thanked for his sight. I suffered a long harrowing by Grendel, but the Heavenly Shepherd can work his wonders always and everywhere. Not long since, it seemed I would never be granted the slightest solace or relief from any of my burdens. The best of houses glittered and reeked and ran with blood. This one worry outweighed all others. A constant distress to counselors entrusted with defending the people's forts from assault by monsters and demons. But now a man with the Lord's assistance has accomplished something none of us could manage before now for all our efforts. Whoever she was who brought forth this flower of manhood, if she is still alive, that woman can say that in her labor the Lord of Ages bestowed a grace on her. So now, Beowulf, I adopt you in my heart as a dear son. Nourish and maintain this new connection, you noblest of men. There will be nothing you'll want for, no worldly goods that won't be yours. I have often honored smaller achievements, recognized warriors not nearly as worthy, lavished rewards on the less deserving, but you have made yourself immortal by your glorious action. May the gods of ages continue to keep and requite, you well. Beowulf, son of Ecgtheow, spoke. We have gone through with a glorious endeavor and been much favored. In this fight, we dared against the unknown. Nevertheless, if you could have seen the monster himself where he lay beaten, I would have been better pleased. My plan was to pounce, pin him down in a tight grip and grapple him to death, have him panting for life, powerless and clasped in my bare hands, his body in thrall, but I couldn't stop him from slipping my hold. The Lord allowed it. My lock on him wasn't strong enough. He struggled fiercely and broke and ran. Yet he bought his freedom at high price, for he left his hand and arm and shoulder to show he had been here. A cold comfort for having come among us. And now he won't be long for this world. He has done his worst, but the wound will end him. He has hasped and hooped and hurpling with pain, limping and looped in it. Like a man outlawed for wickedness, he just awaits the mighty judgment of God and majesty. There was less tampering and big talk than from Unferth the boaster. Less of his blather as the hall thanes eyed the awful proof of the hero's prowess, the splayed hand up under the eaves. Every nail, claw, scale, and spur Every spike and welt on his hand of the heathen brute was like barbed steel. Everybody said there was no honed iron hard enough to pierce him through. No time-proof blade that could cut his brutal blood-caked claw. Then the order was given for all hands to help refurbish Hera immediately, men and women thronging the wine hall, getting it ready. Gold thread shone in the hall, wall hangings, woven scenes that attracted and held the eye's attention, but iron braced as the inside of it had been. The bright room lays in ruins now. The very doors had been dragged from their hinges, only the roof remained unscathed. By the time of the guilt-fouled fiend turned tail in despair of his life, but death is not easily escaped from by anybody, or anyone. All of us with souls, earth dwellers and children of men, must make our way to a destination already ordained where the body, after the banqueting, sleeps on its deathbed. So, a carrier of tales talked about the tale of Sigmund, the dragon slayer, after Beowulf defeated Grendel. And Hrothgar is relieved that Grendel has been defeated, and he had went to the hall and spoke about how he had adopted in his heart Beowulf as his son, because he was proud. Well, everyone was happy and praised Beowulf for defeating Grendel.